Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Eddie Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, as always, on a Monday, we look back on the Premier League weekend in the company of the great Danny Kelly.
We did.
It was enjoyable as always. We had some clips of the week pewter for you from back
they
in 2008.
Fun.
I had a little quiz for Andy.
That was good.
We reflected on the weekend's football. Andy's more bitter than me.
I've had a digital detox.
Yes, yes, right. You've had a digital cleanse, haven't you?
Yeah.
Fantastic. So you'll hear all about that and more. Here it all is. One good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. I don't know if you remember during the World Cup, basically Chinese TV edited out the crowd. They didn't want to show crowd scenes because they had COVID restrictions.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
didn't want to, their people to see people celebrating. Well, I've decided to ask Sky for the same thing, that when Arsenal play, can they show me a coverage without Mikel Arteta?
Oh, okay.
Just edit it out. That'd be fine for me. I'd be really happy.
Fair enough.
It's a bit you're
going bitter today, are you,
Oh,
Andy?
I'm very bitter. No, it was a great game, though.
Yeah,
what
it was.
What a brilliant game.
Corking game.
It's clear Arsenal are the best team in the country. They're going to win the title. I don't think there's any doubt about that. City will push them, but I think they are better than City. They play with an intensity and a power and a sort of togetherness, which is really admirable. It pains me to say.
I've got some breaking news, but it's not quite breaking. It happened a little bit earlier. The all-weather is off at Kempton.
Which I think, love it when the all-weather
Which
is
I think
off.
It's important that we now got to call it the some weather. The some weather is off this afternoon at Kempton.
It's marvellous, isn't it?
I mean, you can't call it the all-weather if you call it. It has got freezing fog, to be fair. So.
Now, in the old days, when Arsenal played and Mike Bova was a reporter here, there used to be a thing where you'd be listening to Adrian on a Saturday afternoon and become at the 90th minute, you'd be hoping Arsenal would either be losing or drawing, whatever.
Well, obviously you would, Arsenal fans wouldn't be, yeah.
Yeah, and you'd hear Adrian go, "Goal at the Emirates, Mike Bova, which way has it gone?" You say, "I know which way it's gone. It's gone to Arsenal, it always is." And that's what it was yesterday, a real Mike Bova goal at the Emirates.
It was. But they kept pushing, didn't they? They deserved it because even at two each, they didn't retreat into themselves.
Manchester United. I thought United played well. If Casemiro had played, I don't think Saka would have scored that goal. I don't think he would have had that space to take that shot. But, you know, that's the way it is. He couldn't play, and you know, he played what's against you.
Andy and I, considering how long we've worked together, we don't really argue very much, but quite a heated argument. I mean, literally a heated argument broke out before the show. This is because we heard Emma Hayes has been saying we need undersoil heating, and I said, well, it's all very well, but, you know, a Kingstonian, that'd cost them a lot of money. And Andy said, well, what's undersoil heating going to cost? 100 grand?
Yeah,
it's 100 grand to dig up the pitch. And
I suppose kitchens are about 50, aren't
they? An intricate series of pipework in a football stadium and then put the pitch back together, 100 grand. We worked out it was probably close to a million now, didn't we?
Yeah. I got excited that it was only 500 grand, then you pointed out it was 2010.
Story from 2010, and things have gone up since then.
Just a touch.
But yeah, we had a proper old ding dong about it. You weren't having it that it was going to cost more than that.
No, I accepted it in the
end. So it did strike me that maybe we could get the listeners the arguments that started, the catalyst for an argument that started from a very, very small fallout. So, I mean, it never came to blows, but who knows, it could, if we kept going, maybe it could have done.
I'm quite depressed today. I've just found out that I spent 7 hours and 14 minutes on TikTok last week.
You've got to grow up, Andy. You're teenagers. What's wrong?
5 hours and a minute on Instagram. That means I spent 12 hours and 15 minutes on those two. That's a half a day. What's wrong with me?
I know. You've really got to sort yourself out. Did you? What did you glean from those? those 12 hours? Did you learn anything useful?
Nothing.
You could have read a book in 12
I
hours.
I should have read
You
a
could
book.
Have read one of the classics. What's a book you've been meaning to read for years?
I don't know. It's
Charles Buchan's Football Monthly Annual, 1959.
Yes. Zorro.
Yes.
It's about the only book I read till I was about 16.
Really?
A proud boast.
You read one book?
Yeah.
I wasn't one really, book. He's very, only read one book.
It's about the same now. I wasn't very bookish, really, but never mind.
Didn't you have a small Italian manservant who read the books for you?
Very much
he
so.
He was your version of Audible, wasn't he? And he had manservants when he was a kid. No, seriously, I'm not joking.
I want to thank Jacob Ramsey of Aston Villa for saying something that you never normally hear. In fact, you've never heard before.
No.
He was talking about the fact that the goal that Southampton scored was disallowed because of a foul on him. And he finished by saying, obviously, thank God for VAR. I thought it's not something you hear very often, is it?
It certainly isn't. Also, Jordan Zamora playing for Bournemouth alongside Dango Ouattara, the new player. Ouattara's, just landed in the UK, basically put his kit on and went out and played. And he doesn't really speak any English at all. And Zamora was saying that there is a bit of a language barrier. All he actually knows is back post.
Really?
The only thing, which is
back door.
To be honest, if you just keep shouting that the way Bournemouth are marking set pieces, that's probably not a bad thing to know, is it?
They're terrible, aren't they, really, their defence? They're all right going forward, but yeah.
And Zamora said, when he scored, I don't know what Dango said to me, it sounded like Bon Marsh, which means a bargain, doesn't it? Maybe he was saying he was a bargain. I think maybe that's what he was coming into. But we wondered about these the limited language issues and indeed the language barrier misunderstandings you've encountered. So we'll take some of your Dango-like tales this afternoon. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. And I had a bet builder on the Manchester United Arsenal game yesterday. And I had four bets come in. I mean, I wasn't going to make a... You know me. Yeah. You know me and my 50p each way.
50p, ways. Yeah.
But it's just a bit of sport, really, to watch
fair
the game.
Enough, why not?
Most of them had come in. All I needed was one more yellow card, basically to go to Aaron Wan-Bissaka, because I'd said he'd get a yellow card. I thought, wingers running at him and all that, there'd be
might
yellow
have
cards.
Might given away a penalty with that challenge.
Him and Shaw. But right at the end of the game, towards the end of the game, it was that 50-50. They were both foot up. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They both went foot up and clashed. Yeah. And I'm shouting at the telly, book him, ref. Come on, Taylor, that's a booking. It's got to be a booking. And it wasn't really. It was 50-50. But that's how it shapes you, isn't it?
Sometimes the outside
influences, whether it's your fantasy football team or a little flutter, shapes how you watch the game. So if you find yourself, or I've found yourself in similar circumstances, do let us know this afternoon, talksport.com/HNJ, text to 81089, tweet to TSHNJ.
I fell asleep during the Leeds-Brentford game. Yeah. I had a lovely Sunday lunch, so fair enough.
I think quite a lot of the Leeds and Brentford players had as well, by the look of it.
That wasn't great.
Like they had a big roast dinner weighing down on them.
But I have got one note I've written. There was just one QPR fan at Ellen Road cheering on one of the Leeds forward players. Yes, it was the Lone Ranger and Nonto.
And on that bombshell, Danny Kelly joins us very shortly to look back on the Premier League weekend, game by game.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, time once again to look back over the Premier League weekend with Car Finance 24/7. As always, Danny Kelly joins us to do just that. Hi, Dan.
Hello, men. How are you? All good?
All good, thanks.
Thank you. Although you reside in Ireland these days, your better half, of course, is a massive gooner. So, joyous scenes in the Kelly household yesterday.
Well, how can I put this without giving an image of marital disharmony? She said, are you going to watch the game with me? And I had to shuffle my mental pack very quickly before I came playing up the card. No, I've got to research for Trans Europe Express. So I managed to not be in the room when that late goal went in. Because, of course, you know what it's like. I'd have been sat there when it was 2-2, vaguely satisfied with the outcome. And then they got their late goal, and you'd be forced to watch as she did some kind of jig of delight, some kind of hacker in front of the television. So, Paul, I made up a semi-permeable excuse and left the room.
Oh, well, yes, a wise thing to do. You heard the distant cheer, though, I guess, which must have
been like a dagger to the heart.
Look,
Andy's just saying they're the best team in the country. I'm not certain that they Manchester City won't hunt them down, but they're probably they're playing. You know, even though it does turn literally to lemon juice on your tongue, you've got to say, you know.
I know. I'm so bitter. They came round earlier with a birthday card for a 100-year-old Arsenal fan. They wanted everybody to sign, but I couldn't.
Such a terrible bloke. Such a terrible bloke, Andy. You really are. They are. You start to wonder what could derail them. I mean, beyond a, you know, God forbid, a season-threatening injury to Odegaard, I can't think of much, really. I can't think of much at the moment that would stop Arsenal doing what they're doing.
They can afford to draw both games with City and still win it. I think they're better than City. I do. They're playing better than City.
I look at City's bench and you think there's still a long way to go in this season. Now, admittedly, they've got Champions League obligations and things like that. You look at City's bench and you think, you know, if he gets the play... It was interesting after the game against Spurs that he chose that victory to dig out both the players and the crowd at Manchester City to say, we got to do better than this. And, you know, given the players they have at their disposal in Manchester City, if they do better than they are, they can go on a sort of supernatural run. But, you know, I don't want to make a comparison between what happened with Leicester and what's happened with Arsenal, because Arsenal fans would take that as an insult. But when teams get into these kind of runs of form, and I use the word again, supernatural, it's as though nothing can go wrong. And, you know, if I had been not skulking in another room pretending to research for Trans-Europe Express, you could have guaranteed that Arsenal were going to get a winner yesterday, particularly at home. Nothing corrupt or anything like that about it. It's just that's the form they're in. And when you look at the way someone like Ben White is playing out of position, you just think, well, you know, they believe in each other. Even their little huddle before the start, in which I noticed Zinchenko was doing all the chat, extraordinary. It's really
it's quite depressing, really. But what can you do? It's like the old days, isn't it? United and Arsenal in a high-class battle for the league. Chelsea, Liverpool and Tottenham, nowhere, really, to be honest.
Well, we'll come on to that later on. I think the Leicester comparisons are right, not necessarily in terms of the clubs, but I'm talking about in terms of the relentlessness. There are certain games when Leicester, you're saying, oh, they got them next week. They could come up short there. I could see them dropping points there. And they don't, and they don't, and they don't. And you kind of sense there is a kind of relentlessness about
they're
Arsenal.
Talking about Nketiah for England now, Tony Cascarino. Yeah.
Just think about what they're doing. Arsenal have the youngest starting 11 in the Premier League. Their front three, which beat the most other informed team in the country, Manchester United, had a combined age of 65 and cost £6 million, their front three. And that with that, they look like they're, I mean, Andy says they are going to be champions of England. Something incredible has happened there. And
yeah, and unlike Leicester, I don't see this being a one-off. I think if Arsenal win the league this year, they're going to be strong for the next few years. They've got a good young squad. They've got a good young manager. Yeah, it's not great for us, but you have to admit what's there.
I think it's hard, but it's hard, Andy, with the Premier League to say, you know, of course they'll have a good team, but, you know, the sheer amount of money, effort, coaching power that's put into the teams at the top of the Premier League, the other end of Seven Sisters Road, notwithstanding, Paul, means that...
No, I don't see them not being in the top four for the next few years.
Yeah. Manchester United, Rick, they're playing the music, Danny, but let's have a quick word on Manchester United, because I don't think we're going to be spending on Leeds versus
really
Brentford.
Really good. The game itself, the quality of the game, which I was watching in another room, I'll be honest. the quality of the game was fantastic. Both sides are finding each other, and the pace and the power. Manchester United contributed hugely to that, and they're back, aren't they? They're really, really on their way back.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was the best game of the season by far, I thought. So far, anyway.
Unlike Leeds 0, Brentford 0. Which probably, I don't know if that was the worst 0-0 of the weekend, I don't know.
It was worse than the Chelsea game. Yeah. It was really a dull game.
I mean, you wonder what we learned from the match. It's interesting, Jesse Marsh is sort of talking up his team, sort of saying, we'll be fine. I was quite pleased with the performance.
Why didn't he bring on the new players? His argument for not bringing him on was really odd. I mean, it was strange.
Rutter. Yeah, he didn't bring him on, did he?
No.
I mean, I look at Leeds and I think they'll just about have enough. I mean, sort of Nando's goals and a bit of youthful exuberance. What are you thinking, Danny? You worried for them?
Yes, I am. But at the moment, you know, what have we got? 3 points covering the bottom seven, is it? I mean, fantastic for the Premier League, the stuff that's going on at that end of it. My view about this, Paul, changes every week. I always have Bournemouth going down. I think Southampton will probably go down after that. It's a lottery.
It could be anybody, that's right.
There was that brilliant moment where Everton were bottom of the table at one stage over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, they're looking pretty lightly as well.
The problem with Leeds, very quickly, Paul, is that you could see under Bielsa the vast expense of energy had some end product to it. Under Jesse Marsh, the vast expense of energy doesn't appear at the moment to have a spear point or some obvious purpose to it other than just running around. I do fear for them, but then I fear for everybody down there.
But it's not, he said, this was his quote that I was talking about. He said, about the bringing on Jorginho Rutter, the new signing. We thought about it. I could have done it. I just want to integrate him the right way. Well, surely 20 minutes of a game you desperately need to win would be the right way to introduce him. When you've paid 30-odd million for him, you must think he's all right.
Yeah, that's him an odd one. Brentford as well, big goal shine, not like them, quite an un-Brentford-like performance, but they've had a couple of those. Maybe after, you know, they got sucked into it last year. He looks at some games, Thomas Frank, and said, you know, we'll be happy with a point here.
Thomas Frank is fantastic, isn't he? Afterwards, his response was, we didn't play particularly well. It wasn't bad. We didn't play particularly well. If you can't win, and then he was very, very stern. He went straight down the barrel, as you would say in television, Paul, and said, get a point. And if Brentford, you know, they're a good team. They'll be fine. I've got no problem with Brentford.
David Raya still, you know, a lot of clubs showing a lot of interest in him.
Yeah, he's not going to sign a contract, so he will go.
He made a couple of big saves again.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We move on to Manchester City 3, Wolves 0, on Erling Haaland hat-trick. Danny, the big stat today, of course, has been he's already scored more goals than the joint Golden Boot winners of last season.
It's amazing,
so,
isn't it?
I thought Pep's comment was an interesting one, really, which sort of summed up what's been said. When he scores hat-tricks and goals, he's the solution in our team. And when he doesn't score a goal, he's the problem in our team.
Yeah, but Pep's in one of those moods, isn't he, where whatever you ask him, he's got something slightly snarky to say about it just now. I think he's trying to G up the team. You know, two things about this. City aren't quite firing on all cylinders, are they? Everyone knows that. The stat I'd give you is that Arsenal had 20... against a very good Manchester United, Arsenal had 25 shots at goal. Manchester City at home against a much more limited Wolves side had half that. They had 13, of which Haaland converted three of them. So they're not quite all clicking in the way that they would hope. I guess that's common knowledge, but it's worth saying again. Secondly, Paul, you really set the alarm bells ringing last week when you mentioned Dixie Deans. I hadn't thought about the great Dixie Deans goal-scoring record, 60 goals in a season in 1927-28. For two decades. Mm. But he's well on schedule, you know.
Yeah.
You were laughing about it. Now, he'll play much more games than Dixie. Dixie only played about, I think, less than 40 games that season. But he's well on schedule to beat it. And so you're dragging up these names from the mists of history.
Everton could do a Dixie Dean now, really.
Yeah.
Unlikely to happen.
Well, yes. there's a very cruel joke about Dixie in his current state.
It's true.
To be made.
So, and Wolves, we saw the joys, Andy. I know you haven't seen that goal yet. I know you do love a bit of playing out from the back. And there was a spectacular example, a beautiful slide rule pass from Jose Sarr, should I say, to the Manchester City player, and Haaland just slots it home, doesn't he?
Just, well, now, you know, I think the coaches, it's taken a couple of years, that the teams are pressing with a new suddenness. They're not just pushing up. They're attacking the person who's getting the ball played to them. And, you know, the goal City gave away against Spurs during the week, a good example of it. And yet, so we can see these. Andy has a highlights reel at home of all the goals conceded by playing out from the back. And no one can show me any goals scored by starting out playing from the back.
Oh, no, you can break the press, it can be very effective, and that's why they do it. But on the other hand,
Can you remember what's on the other hand?
Oh, yes.
You were saying
Pep,
yeah.
Even Pep now, excuse me, goes along. You've got to mix it up. Even the best coaches, the people who are slaves to playing out from the back and only do that, that's a mistake now. The football's changing all the time, and you've got to mix it up, and you've got to go long.
Coaches are reacting, absolutely.
Yeah. And especially if you've got a big centre-forward and you get players around them, often there's no point going long and you aim it at one person. You've got to get people around and win the second ball. But at least you're playing in their opponent's half, you know. So it's a mixture is what you need.
The example I'd give is once again from American football, where there's only two ways of moving the ball forward. You can throw it, or you can run headlong and run with the ball. No team does only one thing, because even those who've got brilliant quarterbacks that want to throw it, you have to, quote, establish that you can run the ball. Mm. Otherwise, the defence are just sitting there, literally letting their nail polish dry, waiting for you to do the thing you're going to do.
It is exactly the same.
I've got an ominous stat of the day. Ready for that? I didn't have time to put a bit of echo on my voice, but this is the ominous stat of the day. It's courtesy of Live Score. Wolves have only scored 12 goals in the Premier League so far this season. Each of the last four teams to score 12 or less in the first 20 games of a campaign have been relegated to the Championship.
Mm, so doomed.
Something to cheer the Wolves fans up.
I think they'll be all right, though. They're showing signs.
Get your 50p on there, Paul.
That's right. 50p each way. I'm not that tight. Anyway, let's move on from that particular game to West Ham 2, Everton 0. Yes, El Sakiko went the way of the home side, and soon to be dad of twins, Jared Bowen. Interesting him saying that, backing up what David Moyes had said, that not making the World Cup squad had really knocked him back, really kind of put him out of his stride, and he's only kind of just getting over it now.
I mean, I heard that, and, you know, people are always looking for, you know, tiny slivers of reasons why something is happening and something as chaotic as football. Jared might have had hopes, but it wasn't like it wasn't like Paul Gascoigne, was it?
No.
The best he could hope was I will be the 26th, whatever number there was in the squad, 26, was it? A 26th choice. And so I mean, but
if he'd been playing, though, he would have been in the squad. That was the whole point. He wasn't playing very well before.
If he'd been playing like at the end of last season, there would have been no question about it, would there? but I mean, the fact that he got the two goals in that game, I mean, the game was deliciously terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because everyone was terrified of making a mistake, and the atmosphere wasn't great until they got their first goal. It was in some ways you should it's rubbernecking, isn't it, watching these relegation games? But they are delicious to watch. And Everton, I think we haven't heard anything about Frank Lampard today, have we? But
no, that's not really good. We are hearing a word that something could be this afternoon.
I mean, they're playing with spirit, but it's not enough. It is.
Oh, but when Farhad Moshiri, who rarely watches the games, when he's at an away game, he might as well have worn a black piece of cloth on his head, because that's the only reason he was there, isn't it?
Bill Kenwright and Farhad Nashiri, they had little screens in front of them. I don't know what they were watching. And I know you're a long way from the pitch. Well,
they're watching the match, weren't they?
Well, they're a long way from the pitch at London Stadium, so I suppose you need that. But maybe they were watching something else.
All the director's boxes have a little screen so they can watch the telly coverage. Have you not noticed that?
Well, I've never been in the director's box, unlike yourself.
Oh, well, I got lucky at Brighton the other week, and I was looking over Daniel Levy's shoulder so I could see the replays on his telly.
Sure. Did you not want to speak to him, Paul?
He was a few rows in front of me. I didn't want to be wrestled to the ground by security.
But you're Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not interested in Paul. Actually, I'm surprised my season ticket entrance card still works.
After Bowen's second goal, I've written, marking anyone?
Yes. Yeah, it wasn't great, is it? Anyway, we'll see what happens. We move on then to Leicester 2, Brighton 2. And let's talk about a young lad, I'm sure, making waves where you are at the moment over in Ireland. Evan Ferguson, what a fantastic young player. And it is another kind of jewel in the crown through Brighton's recruitment process. Who thinks you take a kid out of Bohemians at 18, you'll score goals in the Premier
Proper
League?
Proper striker's header, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I did hear Glendening, though, saying yesterday that although it is good, Max was saying this is good for Ireland, he was sort of pointing out there have been other young Irish strikers who haven't trained on, so it's very early days. Don't get too carried away. It's only 18.
You'll forgive me if I get entirely carried away, Andy, because ever since Robbie Keane retired, I've been sat here watching a succession of well-meaning dodderers up front for the Republic of Ireland, thinking, oh God, I mean, we were so blessed with Robbie Keane. And I think this lad, more so than some of the others you're mentioning there, I think he appears to have what's necessary. Andy, I've got to live in hope, and so it was great to see him come through. The other thought occurs: Chelsea, Tottenham, Arsenal. How much do they spend on scouting? It must run into tens of millions every year. Why don't they
I don't think they do. They just go and see what Arsenal want, and then they go and buy them.
I was just going to say, for 15th the price, you could hire some kid to hack into Brighton's computers and just go for the players they know about.
Probably
true. There was a penalty decision in this game, and Lee Mason, I don't know him personally, but I never thought he was the greatest ref. So it's not a massive surprise that he isn't the greatest VAR either. I mean, I don't know what they're looking at. How could that not be a penalty? It just was a penalty.
Absolutely.
I know Howard Webster always got to be a high bar. You can't go against. But a penalty is a penalty is a penalty. And they don't do themselves any favours when they don't give them.
Look, Howard Webb, we talked about this a little bit last week, and I'll reiterate what I think. He almost has to get his feet under the table and then come out sometime, maybe it won't be till the start of next season, and literally reset VAR. Tell people what it's there for, what they're going to be doing. These bars, see, I don't like the idea, they set the bar higher for penalties this season. The bar should not be subjective, it's got to be objective. If it's a foul in the other part of the pitch, then it's a penalty. And I know we're going to get some soft penalties from that. But at the moment, having not just one person's subjective opinion, that's the on-field referee, and then somebody else in a truck 150 miles away, it just isn't working. And Howard presumably he took the job knowing that, and he's got to change it. And we'll see what he does.
Interesting with Van Heek, another one that they've unearthed. And I was thinking, I bet Burnley wanted him. Somebody went by Heek, and they didn't know what they were talking about.
No one was listening. There he is. He's there all week. And on Leicester, Maddison's back. There's a lot of store being held in that, but they've slip 19 points from winning positions this season. Worst in the Premier
League. They'll be all right, though,
You think so? Only 2 points above the bottom three?
I just think between 7 and 17, they're all fairly similar of ability, really.
Well, let's move on to Bournemouth. 1, Nottingham Forest. 1, we were saying earlier on, the new player, Dango Ouattara, the only English words he knows are back post. And we're saying probably the way they market set pieces, that's quite a useful phrase. It looks like every ball that goes into the box from a dead ball situation, corner or free kick, looks like it's going to be a goal for Bournemouth at the moment.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? Because after every game, the managers say pretty much the same thing. We're going to work. Work is the answer. What work are you doing, guys? If us with no qualifications at all, no way for coaching badges, can see that they're absolutely hopeless at set pieces. And it's not because they haven't got height. I mean, they've got big players in that team, Bournemouth. Just don't know what they're doing on the training pitch to identify the problems. And I did think both these games, though, Paul, because when you were talking about your betting habits, Leicester, Brighton, Bournemouth, Forest, shows the difficulty. You couldn't pick a winner out of these. I mean, as it happens, they ended up as draws. But Andy's right. In the middle of the English Premier League right now, all the teams are so much of a muchness, and I'm not including Chelsea and Liverpool. We'll come back to them later on. That your 50 you pence, it's a toss of the 50 pence coin. Well, I will do then if you want. Yeah. Well,
I mean, they've got players to come back, Bournemouth, haven't they? Solanke's coming back, Brooks and others like that. So is that going to be enough, you think, to keep them up?
If you're Dominic Solanke has good days as a footballer and others when he's less brilliant. But if you're pinning your hopes on Dominic keeping you up, I suspect that won't be enough.
And it was another thing to highlight, the very different form of Forest, home and away. Forest got three goals in their first 10 away Premier League games so far. It was an important point.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ray Houghton joined us on Friday for the Fours panel. And just occasionally, someone does the Fours panel and predicts the scores of the big games at the weekend. And it's almost spooky what they said. This was Ray on the Arsenal-Manchester United game with his prediction.
You know, sometimes you hear Super Sunday, big games, they don't always live up to the hype that surrounds them. I think this is going to be a cracker. I think there's going to be loads of goals in this game. Two teams that are playing consistently well at the moment, but just Arsenal, the youngsters in the team and the belief that they've got at the moment. I'm actually going to go 3-2 Arsenal. There you are.
Really, wow, that's the man to get behind if you're having a flutter. Ray Houghton.
Arsenal fans are amazing. We're getting a lot of tweets saying we're not praising them now. I think we have, though. We've said they're the best team in the country.
I mean, look, if you're looking, we're not neutrals. You've got two Tottenham fans and a Chelsea fan. And you should be even enjoying it more to watch us sit here squirming and saying how great you are.
Yeah, you should be enjoying this.
It's double bubble for you people.
I don't know what they want. They're so funny.
I'm afraid it...
I'll tell you what they want, Andy. What some people... particularly younger football fans want now, not only must you praise their team, but you must say that the team you've supported all your life is no good and their club should be burnt to the ground and the ashes fired to the heart of the sun. Well, that's what they want. But they're not going to get it, are they?
We are previewing Fulham Spurs, so hold that thought. But let's have a look then. Let's move on as we bring you Liverpool 0, Chelsea 0. Yeah, not a particularly exciting game of football.
Yeah, classic 12:30 kickoff Saturday. It was really between two mid-table teams, really. Well, it was. I thought Chelsea were the better side, actually. I don't know why. Klopp was madly over-optimistic afterwards, saying, I can see the side. I thought Chelsea should have won the game.
If I was a Liverpool fan, I'd be worried about his body language. He looks a slightly broken man at the moment, Jurgen Klopp.
A good 15 minutes at the start of the second half, but apart from that, it was all Chelsea.
But he made some big calls and made some changes. And I think, I think generally they did work, but he took some people out of midfield and switched things around. But there's just something about his body language at the moment. I don't know, he just seems very off.
He has that club's great history, plus the fantastic ground and fans and atmosphere, which he's locked into and fed off for years and years. But this is almost 20 years now Jurgen Klopp has had brilliant jobs that are at the same time unenviable. At Dortmund, he was doing fantastic work, knowing that the opposition team, Bayern Munich, were going to take away his two best players every summer. At Liverpool, he's done amazing things, Champions League finals, Champions League winners, all of those things. But it must be tiring knowing that there are 5, 6, 7 clubs who will outspend you or at least match your spending in the course of each season in England. Longevity in managers comes at a cost, I think. Unless you're an absolute dreadnought like Sir Alex Ferguson, it must get you down.
It doesn't.
And I thought,
Dan, it doesn't matter. I mean, wherever he goes to manage, there is always a food chain. There was a food chain in Germany that for a while he was able to overcome, but you know, still Munich could go and buy his best players, even as Dortmund manager.
Yeah, but the point is, Andy, that people normally only have 2 years as the victim of that food chain. Sure. So don't succeed. He succeeds and has that pressure then for year after year after year after year. And I thought it was telling that he did make some brave changes, and yet by the end of the game, trying to shake some life into that Liverpool team, he brought on Fabinho, Henderson, Alexander Arnold. The band was getting back together again,
wasn't it? They were in Ray Charles' music
shop. I've got a note here that says... Badashir, who played well, actually, but Badashir was as bad as me on that head, yeah. Actually, the score.
But Mudrick looked good, didn't he? I know it's early doors, but it was exciting when he came on.
Well,
and
he has been brilliant for Shakhtar, particularly in the Champions League this season. But we're now analysing one run, which he did have 10 touches of the ball, and it was pretty brilliant. We're analysing one run.
Too
he's
much.
Now
give the boy a chance. Yeah. I tell you though,
but he did look good. Was good.
What's interesting, I made this point about João Felix. I made this point about other players that have come in. Mudrick all look sharper than our players. And he hasn't played since November. There's something up with that training. The players aren't sharp as they could be.
Southampton 0, Aston Villa 1. Drones, of course, led to a bit of a breaking play.
But it's all about social media. It's the same as the bloke that wandered onto the pitch last week and had his photo taken with Casemiro. He doesn't care if he's going to get banned forever. All he cares about is he's on TikTok or he's on Instagram.
Well, hang on.
And this is the same thing.
Hello, that's your fault, Andy.
That's you, Andy, 12 hours on social media.
No, but I don't post stuff to get attention. Do you know what I mean?
Giving him attention.
Well, I don't follow him.
You need a digital cleanse.
But it is social media that causes all this stuff because he's a YouTuber and he wanted to, you know, do that, and it's so irritating.
Villa 5 wins in 7. They're all saying players saying nice things about Unai Emery, and they say he's a winner. He's bringing a winning mentality, and they're very pleased with the job.
Five
he's
out
doing.
Of seven's good.
Yeah,
he's a very good football manager who got himself involved in PSG, where everybody is ultimately doomed. You remember, I think I'm right in saying he was sacked in the tunnel, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Unai Emery. And then he goes to Arsenal, who were at the very low point of their reorganisation. And I'm not going to suggest for 1 minute Mikel Arteta has benefited from his work. I don't know that to be true. But he just was in the wrong place at the wrong time there. He's a good manager, really good manager. Mm. And of course, Villa's players are responding because I think what was going on there prior was chaotic. Yeah. And like all human beings, a little bit of leadership doesn't go amiss. I mean, the drone, let's be honest. I spoke to two people who were at the game, both Southampton fans. The drone was a blessed relief for the home fans because they were doing nothing.
Yeah.
And they were hoping that the game would be abandoned, but apparently the protocol is just to take the players off.
Yeah, no, I was at a game, Brentford Wolves, last year when this happened, and it's so boring and it's so irritating.
Yeah.
I'd love to, you couldn't have this, but I'd have a police marksman on site.
They should
give
everybody in the crowd a blunderbuss.
Exactly.
So you can take it out. Yeah.
It'd probably be slightly dangerous.
It could be, probably not a great idea. Forget that. Southampton, if you're a set piece coach and just move down to the South Coast, because you can go and work with Bournemouth and Southampton. You can flip between the two clubs and work on them defending set pieces. Yeah. Palace 0, Newcastle 0. And really the only standout from that was that Pope save. What a stop that was.
Yeah, he's in great form, isn't he? At the least, the commentary I watched at least didn't say, well, it was a good height for a goalkeeper. How many times are great saves these days chalked off by the commentator saying, well, he's lifted that 2 foot off the ground? These blokes are diving full length off a standing start on grass. It's not as if you're on a trampoline or something. They stop the ball. Oh, well, it's saved. Well, I'd expect him to save that. Would you indeed? Well, that's very good of you to save from 50 yards away.
That was a fantastic save because Mateta himself applauded. And you don't often see that.
That's a great sign, isn't it? Yeah.
9 hours not conceding a goal, Newcastle. A bit of
they
a concern.
They could do Harry Kane.
Yeah, they probably could. They could probably afford him.
Well done, Andy. How many more clubs are people going to sell Harry Kane to before the end of this programme?
But, Callum Wilson, a little piece on Callum Wilson by Luke Edwards in the Telegraph today. So he's not been the same since the World Cup. It may say maybe the intensity of the training that he did with England was nothing like what he would have got a Premier League, and he didn't play much football in the World Cup. So it's taken him a while to get the pace of the Premier League back.
It's odd, isn't it? You never know what's going on with human beings. The arrival of Alexander Isak, which many people would hope would gee him up or maybe be a potential partner for him, may have set him back in the same way that maybe one of the reasons, and I know we don't want to talk about Spurs for long, Andy, Son's form, the arrival of Richarlison. Some people just threatened by new things, aren't they? Their position.
Just very quickly, then we'll look ahead to Fulham Tottenham game tonight. We're going to preview in a bit more detail later on. But the big thorny question in light of the stuff over the weekend, which seems to suggest that Antonio Conte doesn't want to commit to a new contract. So the chairman really has the decision to make. Does he does he maybe allow him to buy a couple of players in his own image with Paratici, the general manager, and
hang on, he may be banned by the end of this afternoon.
No, that's quite possible. If he's still, or does he make the call? Does he say you've effectively got a manager that everybody knows is going at the end of the season, and that could cost places in the league and money?
You can't have that. I just think you cannot have a temporary manager for 6 months at a Premier League club. If he doesn't want to sign his new contract, and I totally understand he's had a very difficult personal time with the deaths around him, his family's in Italy, but he can't leave him there. And they can't be buying players for him either. So Daniel Levy once again has a tremendous crossroads ahead. And of course, this has arrived 8 days before the end of the transfer window. Yeah. I think the word chaos might be applied here without being contradicted.
It's a very important game for Spurs. Right? They need to get something out of the game. And Fulham have done well, they have, but I can't say when Chelsea played them, I don't think they would have won that game if Chelsea hadn't gone down to 10 men.
Mitrovic. Was there in that game? That made a big difference.
Yes, I suppose so.
He's huge for them, huge anyway. Anyway, Danny, thank you. We will catch up with you next week.
Most enjoyable, thank you.
Enjoy the match tonight. I'm almost certain you won't, much like me, but we'll do our best.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Just been watching the Chris Eubank Jr., Liam Smith weigh-in just now. Chris Eubank Jr. Wearing a Manchester United shirt, but probably more notably in light of that exchange yesterday, a rainbow armband.
Yeah,
it was pretty unpleasant stuff. It was very unpleasant stuff. Well, Liam's been in with us before and come across as a good lad, but he let himself down yesterday, I think, quite badly. And Chris Eubank Jr. handled it pretty well. That was really odd. Even the boxing border control of Wade, and you've probably seen that, they're saying that the stewards of the ball will be considering the conduct of both boxers directly. But it was all pretty unpleasant stuff. But I'll try and bring you the weights if we can shortly on that one. Andy, from that.
If you're a professional footballer this weekend and you're playing in the Premier League and you're listening to this, if you score an absolutely magnificent goal or put in a brilliant assist for the winning goal, can you celebrate? I'm sick of these players like Alisse and Ziyech. What is wrong with these people? Oh, I'm sorry you're getting paid an absolute fortune for doing something you love.
So you want them to be happy?
Well, of course. It's pathetic. Honestly, absolutely pitiful. You know, they're an absolute fortune. They're doing something that people would love to do.
Mm.
You know, they've given people loads of pleasure and joy, and they sit there like, looking like it's the worst thing that's ever happened. I did not get that reaction from Alisse the other night.
I know.
It was really, really odd. But you know,
as everybody's got there. Maybe he was celebrating inwardly. It was quite a strange reaction. I'll give you that. But I suppose everybody, as we said, everybody's got their own way. Now, Andy, you're happily married. I don't expect you to be involved in this show. But they're doing Love Island for older people.
Are they?
They're going to do it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's going to be called Your Mum, My Dad. Children trying to set up their single parents.
Really? Your Mum, My Dad. I see. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so will you watch that?
No. I don't even watch
that. I don't think they'll go down the old swimsuit route, will they? It does seem quite unlikely.
No, I don't think so.
And
if I win it, I won't be wearing a cat suit, like Ekins suit.
Ekins. I think I was shouting something very similar at the telly after City's fourth goal last night.
Do you get the marketing of the Beckham kids? I don't get this. What footballer playing for Brentford Reserves would be the face of a sports brand like Puma? It's mad, isn't it? Honestly, I don't get it. But there you go. I suppose they do attract a lot of attention.
Marketing companies approach you.
The tabloid newspapers, this constant drip, drip knocking of Gary Lineker. This one's fantastic from Simon Randall.
Yes.
He said, wrote to The Sun today, in the Wolves v Liverpool match, Gary Lineker said how toasty warm he was in the BBC studio. I'm sure freezing pensioners forced to fund this outdated corporation will be... You're right, mate. Yeah. He just said he was warm.
That's a bit of a it's a bit of a stretch, yeah, isn't it?
really. Give it
now,
a rest,
a myth was nailed yesterday. They often say if a bird poos on you, it's supposed to be lucky, isn't it?
I'm not sure that's true.
Alex Zverev was playing at the Aussie Open, and that's what happened to him. And he went on and lost. He lost in four sets. So that's the end of that.
So it wasn't that lucky.
Clearly not that lucky.
And what a great quote from Rob Andrew, the Sussex chief executive. Yeah, brilliant, mate. He's talking about Steve Smith.
We were railing against this with, who was it, with Harmy? The other, with Nick Compton, weren't we? Yeah, that's it.
He says, to have arguably the world's best batter play for us is great. It's great for us and for the championship. Yeah, not so great for England, yeah. Though. Don't worry about
He's
it.
He's going to play three county championship games just to get his eye in ahead of the Ashes. Why are we doing that?
Is he paying Sussex? Because he ought to, really.
Imagine they're paying him handsomely.
Yeah.
I think we Sussex fans who support England should boycott it.
They should.
Yeah.
They should.
Jeffrey, boycott it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. The Talk Sport Clips of the Week.
Well, it's Clips of the Week pewter. We have dusted off some old clips, warts and all, from March 2008, as you've heard before. Dusty old box of mini disc found in a corner. And the producer has been digitising them for us. And here they are. We've not heard them since 2008 either. We don't know who's in them. I'm sure they'll be good.
Well, it's a safe guess it'll be Alan.
Well, funny enough, that's where we kick off, Andy, isn't it? We begin with Alan Brazil, actually kicking off another busy breakfast show.
On DAB, digital radio, and via the net, good morning and welcome to your number one sports breakfast on TalkSport.
TalkSport. What TalkSport is, I don't want to think about it.
I don't either. This is Mike Parry now.
My dad didn't have to do national service because he was in the Royal Navy during the war.
Yep.
He came out a finer man than he was when he went in. I know that for a fact because I knew him quite well.
Well, he's your dad, wasn't he?
Commentating on a race.
What? What's a little bit, wasn't it? 15 to 1 bar. Back to breakfast. And isn't it a shame when the callers get exterminated live on air?
Brian, good morning.
Morning, Alan.
Hiya, Brian.
Morning, Brian.
Yeah, I'm not a bitter Arsenal fan. I've got a really good point. The reason when David Bentley was...
Ronnie Irani's ray gun that he often used to bring into work. Yeah, of course.
Alan's sounding a bit Cheltenham. It was March.
Thinking, yeah.
Over to Nigel Botherway on Fisherman's Blues now.
In the Thames, a fish finder is fantastic for picking up the bottom features, but it's not that good for finding fish.
Got to change the name of it then, haven't they? Much like the all weather at Kempton. The some weather at Kempton, of course, as it was called off today. Big Alan again now, and this really is his broadcasting style in a nutshell.
So suddenly Stevie G, bang, he did have a little pop a few weeks ago, if you remember, didn't he? Listen, this is not good enough for Liverpool. And to be fair to Steven Gerrard, since he said that, bang.
Bang.
Alan doesn't bang as much. He used to do that a lot, didn't he? We had great moments in history, didn't we, over the years. You know, Napoleon, bang, small mouth, bang. Anyway, bang. And he used to, but yeah, doesn't do that quite as much as he did. He's got out of the habit. This is, well, it's up to you, Andy. You do it.
It is. It's back to Mike Parry with a bit of trivia.
Cornish pasties originated in Cornwall.
Thank you very much. He is a mine of information, isn't he?
Brilliant, isn't it?
Now, here was occasional presenter, former RAF pilot, John Nicol, talking politics.
What did you think of Mr. Darling and what he said yesterday? Well, I know one man who probably was watching it with absolute, total and utter, staggering, amazing Adam Bolton.
Sometimes the words just don't come, do they? Really?
Brilliant, isn't it? Returning to Alan Brazil again, we had a huge guest with him, former two-weight champion of the world, Evander Holyfield. And Evander was promoting his new book.
Evander, what can we read? Do you start right as the upbringing right through your book? The Olympics, the disqualification, the heartbreaks, the success?
Well, it is a life story. Not really worth reading it now, is it?
Not really.
Yeah, cheers, Al. Thanks for sorting that out for me. And we finish with Mike Parry setting up a music quiz.
Believe me, it will change your life, OK? Now, today's song is You Sexy Thing by Hot Chocolate.
Hot Chocolate?
Hot Chocolate? Where does that even come from?
No. Mr. Parry had another go later on.
Now then, you've just heard all three contestants give us their chant to the tune of You Sexy Thing by Hot Chocolate. Hot Chocolate, Errol
what
Brown.
What is up with your teeth this morning?
No, there's nothing wrong with my teeth, Andy. Nothing wrong with my teeth at all.
No,
what happens is when you're looking at your computer and you keep knocking the desk and it keeps vibrating like that, it's very difficult to get yourself in focus, okay?
Yeah, which is why I keep saying checklist.
Yeah.
But one of Mr. Parry's great skills was his ability to improvise, because if you've ever heard him, he used to sing quite a lot, of course, he'd never know the words of the song, so he'd make them up. And most of the time they were just old frontier gibberish, never made any sense at all. But I still think this is a classic. Sir Rod does listen to TalkSport, and I know he would have heard this clip before. But he would have been... I think he might have gone back to the drawing board, having heard this slightly on-the-nose version of one of his old classics. It's from that same music quiz. Take it away, Mike.
Yeah. If you think you have what it takes and you want to be one of the two challengers to give Anthony a run for his money tomorrow, then the song you need to work on is Do You Think I'm Sexy by Rod Stewart.
Would you like me to give you a few bars of that?
Go on, then.
If you think I'm sexy and you're done to love me, come on, baby, open wide. If you think I'm groovy and you want to smooch me, come on, baby, by my side.
Took a slightly creepy turn at one point,
didn't it?
But he just sort of brought it back.
I don't think that was right.
He brought it back at some point. So there we are. That's the clips of the week. Pewter from March 2008. We'll dust a few more off next week. Now, Andy.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw this. There was a lot of talk about Pablo Sarabia swapping, one of the papers said, the glitz of Paris for a relegation scrap in Wolverhampton.
Well,
I thought, you know, Paris, Wolverhampton, Wolverhampton, Paris, two great historic cities. Yeah. But I mean, what do you know about either city, Andy? That's the question
I have stayed at the Jarvis Park Hotel in Wolverhampton.
Oh, well, nice. And you've stayed in nice hotels in Paris?
Well, yeah, stayed in the Georges Saint once.
Okay, what was better?
George Saint.
Oh, okay, fair enough. That was a rhetorical...
It didn't overlook the prison.
Okay, really? There's something wrong with a hotel that overlooks the prison. I mean, somebody goes over the wall. The worst one I ever had was when we went to Edinburgh and I was staying in that place right up the back.
Near the zoo.
We turned up, didn't we? We turned up at about 11 o'clock at night and I didn't know where we were. We just get out of the car in Edinburgh. And then 6 o'clock the following morning, I hear, what the heck's going on? And all
wasn't
sorts of
me.
No, exactly. Sorts of elephants trumpeting. And open the curtains, Life of Brian style. There they were. It was we were right in the back of the zoo.
Yes.
Anyway, this is nothing to do with Paris or Wolverhampton. Andy,
yeah.
We don't have enough quizzes here on TalkSport. I'm going to put that right.
Okay,
I've got. Won't take long. I've got six questions for you.
Okay, I'm happy.
Are you ready? All I want to know is it Wolverhampton? Or is it Paris? You can play along at home, folks.
Okay.
Here we go. In which city... Oh, nice, easy one to kick off with. Okay. In which city was wrestler Kendo Nagasaki finally unmasked? Surprisingly, to a very polite ripple of applause, given the enormity of the moment. And there was a TV audience of 14 million people watching on Worlders. 14 million watched it. Where did that happen? Wolverhampton or Paris?
It wasn't the town hall in Paris. It was the town hall in Wolverhampton.
It was the Civic Hall Wolverhampton. Which should have a blue plaque based on that. So, well done, Andy. One out
Thank
of one.
You.
It might get a bit tougher now. Which city was home to the first automated traffic lights? Was that Wolverhampton or was that Paris?
I'm going Paris.
Well, you'd be wrong. It's Wolverhampton.
Well,
very much a feather in Wolverhampton's cap.
Tremendous.
That one.
Who knew?
Fantastic. Yeah, so one out of two. We move on then.
Hmm.
Keep it light, but which city had a shortage of coffins in 1918 due to an outbreak of influenza? Was that Wolverhampton or was that Paris? Coffin shortage.
I'd say Paris.
It was Wolverhampton.
Really?
The great Wolverhampton coffin shortage of 1918. So they keep it light, but that's a question. So there we are. One out of three, Andy. It's not going down very well, is it?
Going very well, mate.
Which city refused actor Tom Cruise honorary citizenship in 2005? Was it Wolverhampton or was it Paris?
I'm going to say Wolverhampton because all the answers are Wolverhampton. But it's bound to be Paris. Wolverhampton.
In what circumstances do you think was Tom Cruise looking for honorary citizenship of Wolverhampton? And at what point did they turn him down? Did he say something horrible about Stan Cullis once?
Maybe.
Was there a line in Mission Impossible that was a slight on Derek Dugan?
No, I have no idea.
It was Paris.
It was Paris.
Yeah, they knocked him back. Okay, so going, not doing very well. One out of four.
Really,
in which city was the Bloody Mary cocktail reportedly invented, Andy? What do you reckon?
Paris.
Yeah, well done. It was Paris. Harry's Bar in Paris. Hemingway, apparently. Not
Harry's Bar in Wolverhampton.
There might be Harry's Bar in Wolverhampton. And finally, which city boasts a French restaurant called the Parisian?
It's got to be Wolverhampton.
It is Wolverhampton.
Of
course it is. So you rallied
There's
a bit.
There's
this
restaurant called Wolverhampton in Paris.
Just a bit of fun there. Just
yeah,
a bit of fun.
But
you struggled on a couple of them.
Well
done on those automated traffic lights.
That's
and, of course, Led Zeppelin and Slade. There's a lot going for it.
I've been listening to a bit of Led Zeppelin.
Oh, have you really? We got back into them.
It's so good, really. Yeah, excellent.
What? Where have you gone in? What stage have you gone in?
Oh, no, I've gone Led Zeppelin 2, really.
Oh, okay. That's a good album.
Yeah, very good album.
When did that come from? Just out of nowhere?
Yeah, I can't remember why. I just, down a Spotify rabbit hole. And I
what
thought,
about that?
Yeah.
Now, talking
about deleted my TikTok.
He has. Andy
has.
Andy,
it's gone. And
we
it's
shamed
never coming
him.
Back.
Myself and the producer shamed him. He needed a digital cleanse. He spent 11 hours on social media, a man of his age. 12 hours. Mm. 6 hours on TikTok. Rots your brain. He admitted he'd never read one book until he was 16, which was Zorro.
I can't even blame TikTok. It didn't exist in those days.
I mean, really, old Caxton had only really got the press going when you read that. So,
true.
So anyway, yeah. Where were we? So Andy's he's had a digital cleanse. We forced him into it. He has got rid of TikTok. That's
yeah,
it.
Think,
no
yeah,
more.
Yeah, I think it's actually, it was 7 hours. It shocked me, actually.
Yeah, myself and the producer thinks he'll be back on by Wednesday.
I won't. I've been meaning to get rid of it for weeks.
You're going to be coming. You'll be like the New York Review of books. You'll be coming in every day talking about the book you've read, Andy. Zorro 2, Electric Boogaloo.
I see one more video of Saltby sprinkling salt on his steak.
Well, stop watching them, mate.
I know.
Rotting your brain, clearly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Here we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Myself and Charlie Baker. Andy will be back on Wednesday. Do hope you can join us from 1 for the show. If not, the podcast, as always, will be available at 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.